Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. Can we be seated? So today's theme is to rule and to reign. To rule and to reign. Let's start with our popular part of scripture. So let's see Genesis 1. It says in Genesis 1 through 20. Let me test you. How many of you know the part of scripture that said, when God said, let's make man in our image and likeness? Genesis 1 verse what? Okay, because the drummer shouted, everybody shouted. Is it not 23? Alright, let's read together. Dr. Ankele, I'll start asking you scriptures very well too. As you're snapping, don't be escaping though. I'll just ask, Genesis 1, Leviticus 1. Alright, then God said, let us make man in our world, image and likeness. According to our likeness, sorry. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let them have what? A kingdom. That's one of the root words for the word there, dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And anytime I say this part, I said, God has given you dominion over creeps. So I have dominion over creeps. In the name of Jesus. Why is that sister not looking excited? She's just looking at me with a smile. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Don't worry, everything is perfect. A lot of money you will get. Huh? Your name is Sister. Sister, yeah. Mimi. Mary. Mary, Mother of Jesus. You are Mother of Jesus and you are worried. You that carry Jesus in your womb. Hallelujah to Jesus. Don't worry. Money. Most of you, your problem here don't pass money. It's not. 99% of the people here, their problem is not more than money. Just money. Money covers to you. In Jesus' gracious name. All right. God has given us dominion. God gave us dominion. God's desire for us is to walk in dominion, absolute dominion. Do you believe that? I'm seeing lately, I don't know if you're observing, that the kingdom message is really moving, you know, entering the body of Christ, some sort of. I saw this, there's this man of God called Emeka Anslem, if I don't know if I'm saying it right. I saw some videos about someone, a man of God, I can't remember his name, teaching the kingdom message. And I was excited. He asked a question that was so thrilling to the hearts of many. He said, if Adam, which we've taught here several times, you know, they were very surprised. And I'm excited because... excited and surprised because these are things they are supposed to know, but it's even surprising them that if Adam never disobeyed God, will he go to heaven? Huh? Will he go to heaven? Huh? If Adam never disobeyed God, will he one day be raptured? Huh? Why? Do you have an answer? Why? Someone said he was in heaven. So if he was in heaven, what then happened? Is Eden heaven? Huh? So what is Eden then? Huh? Akwai aiki. All right, let's continue. So God gave man a kingdom from the beginning. All right? And God's character is this, that as it is in the beginning, so shall it be at the end. Beginning, sorry. So shall it be what? At the end. There's a man online that did that one time. Right? Can you remember? In the beginning. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, the way it is in the beginning, God wants it to be like that at the end. If God wanted heaven on... Where is Eden? Is Eden heaven? Eden is what? Heaven on earth. Because there were grasses, there were trees, isn't it? So heaven on earth. Alright? Like you're on earth and enjoying the glory of heaven. Are you here this wonderful morning? You're on earth and what? Enjoying the glory of heaven. And everything is so perfect for you. Because you see, the database of heaven is the word. Yes, sir. That as it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? The Bible says in the book of Luke 12:32. Let's see it very briefly. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the kingdom. Jesus is the one speaking here, that it has always been God's intention to give you the kingdom, like he gave us in Genesis, we've seen now. The root word in Hebrew simply means the kingdom, for dominion. So God from the beginning wanted man to have a kingdom, or this is how you should put it to sound better. God wanted to have a kingdom on the earth through man. Are we together? God wanted to have a kingdom on the earth through man. Are we together? Glory to God. It is the Father's good pleasure so that you have the kingdom. So when I saw the video, I was so excited because I can see that the kingdom message is really getting into the church. Even though it's not so popular, I'm just excited that somehow people are getting to understand it. Miles Moreau of blessed memory wanted this to happen. Of course, Jesus ultimately wants this to happen. And Miles Moreau taught so much, and you know, of course, people didn't welcome it because they felt like it was threatening to the things already happening in the church. Right? And he died. And God is beginning to raise people also. All right, we may be few, but this message is the truth, it will prevail. All right, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now, if you understand God's verdict from the beginning, which is a kingdom, all right, he wants to have a kingdom on the earth through man. All right, man is God, how God wants to have a kingdom on the earth, and it makes sense, some sort of, if you compare with the last book of the Bible, ultimately what the angels celebrated at the end of that book of Revelation. They said, finally the tabernacle of God is now with men, and he shall reign upon the face of the earth forever. That simply means God wants to reign on the earth through man from the very beginning. And that's why finally we are seeing that has happened also, which is him having a tabernacle through man to reign upon the face of the earth, just like he wanted in Genesis. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because he wants to reign on the earth through man. Now at the end, he's finding a tabernacle befitting for him on the earth to reign on the earth like he wanted in the beginning. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Am I confusing you? And that is why you cannot take out the body factor. Alright? Being completely redeemed. If you think your body does not, the salvation of your body does not really matter to God, you truly don't understand the kingdom. Because when Paul the apostle began to really, you know, navigate in this part of the kingdom, teaching this message of the kingdom, somewhere in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, which we've read several times, he said, there's something that can stop, you know, alter the vision, this kingdom vision, all right? And he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not what? Inherit the kingdom. You see, so unrighteousness is anti the kingdom, and it is tied to sin in the flesh, isn't it? He said, do not be deceived. In other words, Satan would dare to deceive many. All right? Because he was speaking to a church who felt they were spiritual yet in sin. The Corinthian church. They were spiritual because they were flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes. The Corinthian church were spiritual in quotes because, you see, they flowed in diverse gifts of the Spirit. Women, men, you know, he solved a lot of problems with the Corinthian church. Remember when women were now seeming more anointed in 1 Corinthians 11? He spoke about covering on the hair. You know, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? All the kind of situation that we probably have seen in churches today happened in the Corinthian church. And Satan would dare to deceive. And that's why Paul is saying, do not be deceived. He would dare to deceive. He said, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor what? Idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites can inherit the kingdom. All right? Somewhere, while he was speaking with them, this is a church that were anointed in their mind. They were anointed. Yet, they were okay in sin. All right? Because the gift of the Spirit is not what is given to solve the sin's problem. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Alright, so you see diverse manifestation of the Holy Ghost here. Now, the Holy Ghost in you is supposed to stop everything darkness. But if you don't understand the vision of the Holy Ghost, you can have him manifest some level of his presence in you, as darkness will still not be completely wiped off from your life. Yeah. Because you don't understand the ultimate vision of the Holy Spirit. The ultimate vision of the Holy Spirit is so that you know Jesus. But if you think the ultimate vision of the Holy Spirit is so that you are seeing visions, all right, and are working in the miraculous and etc., without seeing Jesus, because sometimes you may be so excited about the initial manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. Should I call it the... let me just leave it at this level. I pray you understand me. When it comes on your inside now, you may start seeing some little demonstrations here that may deceive you that that's his ultimate ministry. For instance, if the Holy Ghost fills an individual, most 90% of them are under his influence. You see some bodily reactions. Are we together? So that will make you feel as if that's the ultimate vision of the Holy Spirit. You may now be so excited that you want to see people on the ground. You know, I see what happened in the church, and I'm sure you are seeing too. People are excited when they do like whoop, and people go to the ground. And I'm not against people under the influence of the Holy Ghost, but some people have idolized that now. That if that does not happen in a meeting, they don't think the Holy Ghost was there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But that's actually not the ministry, the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can do things like that and reactivate the giftings, the manifestations of the Spirit in your life. Paul said, I long to see you so that I may what? Impart in you some certain spiritual manifestation. You know, you can stir the fire of the Holy Ghost, but ultimately, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is so that you know Jesus. When you come to that point, we don't need to be steering anything. You have come to the fulfillment of everything steering will produce when you get to know Jesus. Are you get what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why the Bible says, where tongues are, they will cease. When you come to that fullness. It says, where there are prophecies, they will stop. When you come to that fullness. Because if I'm perfect in the Holy Ghost, and you're perfect in the Holy Ghost in Christ Jesus, nobody needs to see our problem, because there's no problem in that realm. Why? In that realm you are established. In that realm you are far from oppression. Are you get what I'm trying to explain to you? So some people misunderstand the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And we keep on falling people to the ground and etc. Yet the world is not changing. Even the people laying hands on people that are falling will be caught. So some of them are caught in several sins afterwards. Alright? Because you see, they misunderstood the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They felt like the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the end that people are slain under his power and etc. Not even healing the sick is the ultimate ministry of the Holy Ghost. Sickness were being healed before Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. Anything that you saw in the Old Testament, all right, any manifestation of the Spirit you saw in the Old Testament is not the reason why Jesus came ultimately. Can I say that again? Any manifestation of the Spirit you saw in the Old Testament is not the reason why Jesus came. Mark, make sure you underline this last word, ultimately. Are we together? That simply means if Jesus never came, the sick will be healed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Am I making sense? Yeah, the sick will be healed. If Jesus never came, whatsoever happened in the Old Testament through the anointing would have still been happening. And that is why when they flogged him, all right, when they flogged him, you know, and the Bible actually says, by his stripes we were what? Isn't it? So when they flogged him, he would have decided to stop there and say, I've paid for healing. But he didn't stop there. And that's why having a healing ministry as your call as a man of God is an error. You may have a healing ministry as something that manifests, you know, in the ultimate ministry that the Lord has given you, which is raising people to becoming like Christ. Are we together? So your database must be the revelation of Jesus. Meanwhile, you are still healing the sick. But don't now limit the ultimate ministry of the Holy Spirit to his ability of healing the sick. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So you can't say you have a healing ministry. You are wrong. You can't say you have a prophetic ministry. You are wrong. You can't say you have a deliverance ministry. You are wrong. All right? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you here, you can do many things outside what some people know you for and outside what other people know you for. Isn't it? As you know me as a pastor now, some people know me as a footballer. All right? Other people know me as a computer scientist. There are many people I deal with that don't know that I'm a pastor. They see me as a computer scientist because I actually did not even tell them I'm a pastor. Other people who have seen me play football don't even know I'm a pastor too, because I did not even behave like a pastor in the field, probably. I was quacking their legs. Hallelujah to Jesus. So they did not even see any trace of pastor. You know, I remember one time somebody said, pastor, and the guy said, is he a pastor? And he plays this hard. So he wanted me to be merciful in the field because I'm a pastor. But no, I was not taking it easy. I was playing German. Do you understand? I am confessing before they tell you, because I know some people will tell you that I know how to play rough. I play very hard football. Hallelujah to Jesus, because that's how I started learning football. So to some people I'm a footballer, to some people I'm a computer scientist, to you I'm a pastor. Alright? So I cannot limit one manifestation of my tripartite ability to defining myself. You know, I can't define myself as just a computer scientist. Ultimately, I'm a pastor beyond all of these things. Okay, maybe I'm not the best example to use, but I hope you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Because chiefly, I know my call is to be a pastor. All right, so yeah, I can even use it. I cannot tell people that I can't live my life like everything about me is computer science, even though I do business in that area. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes, ultimately I understand I am a pastor, even though I am also a computer scientist. So I cannot allow computer science take over my life ultimately. I do it with caution. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Am I making sense to you? That's the problem we're having today. Some people, when they see, because a lot of times you encounter God in the direction of your needs. All right? If you begin to pray today, most of us, when we begin to pray, we have several problems. You have a financial problem. You have someone in your house you are trusting God to be healed. You have a building project, and etc. All right? And now all of you are praying at the same time. If God answers your prayer, you trusting God for healing for your mom or yourself, you call him Rapha. That's why they called him Rapha in scripture. He never called himself Rapha. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When he was helping somebody, the guy felt like God, you know, he has exhausted the ability of God. He did this, God help him. He did that, God help him. When God helped the people in several ways, they say, you are El Shaddai. Anywhere we enter, you help us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When God manifested himself in another dimension to another person, they called him another name. But he has his own name. He knows himself. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And that's why in the book of Revelation, he did not say, I'm Rapha. He said, I'm the Word. Meaning, I am who I say that I am. Through the scriptures. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He didn't define himself by anything men called him. So, we have some of our fathers who sincerely sought for God. And God dealt with the demons in their village. They were in a village and demons were disturbing people. Wizards were disturbing. So they began to pray. And God came down as a mighty, terrible one and killed all the wicked people there. And they say, they now began a ministry in the order of their encounter. So in their ministry now, you go, you see some kind of things that you cannot really trace to scripture, but they don't care because that's how they encountered God. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Their prayer style, the kind of prayer they pray. I know a ministry that have booklets for witches and wizards. Like they have particular prayers for certain kind of demons. They have particular prayers. Alright? They are not bad people. The founder experienced God like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And now everybody is taking shape the way the founder's life is and ministry is. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that is why you who are knowledgeable will not go there and try to talk them down. You use wisdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Not mockery. You don't win over people by mockery. Some people that have this knowledge, which is even little knowledge, because if you truly have this knowledge, you will not be proud. If you have the knowledge of God, you will not be proud. And that is why if I see people who claim to have the knowledge of God and they are making other people feel small and look small, they don't have the knowledge of God. For mere knowledge puffs up. But if you encounter God, the Bible says you will not continue in your sin. Real knowledge will stop sin. Mere knowledge will make you proud. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So we understand that. And there is a way we go about it. We understand where they are coming from. Love sees needs, not faults. We understand where they are coming from. The only pain is when they are not ready to learn for some of them. Then you go and pray. You still leave them. You don't argue. Because the sons of God are called peacemakers. Are we together? We are what? Peacemakers. Somebody argue for God that he threw blue. Which God are you arguing for? You argue that I say, see, if you touch me, I will slap you. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. We're just talking. Don't touch me. Why is the thing paining you like that? If the thing was so much of a problem, Jesus would have come down and warned that person himself. The person you are standing for have not done anything. You want to kill yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So you do your part and leave the rest to God. It is God that can bring all men to himself, not you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you understanding me this morning? Yeah, so you see diverse experiences like this. You see it. You see it. Alright? There are some that you go to their ministries, they have very disturbing ways. Disturbing because you have read the scripture so well and it's disturbing. You know, I've gone to places and I've seen red candles before. I don't know if you have seen. But I've seen doves. People bring doves. You know? I've seen people who use bells to pray. Hallelujah to Jesus. So all you need to do is correct in love. The Bible says you will teach the truth in love. Like some of you go back home and you even see your parents with a particular special water in the house. And what will you do? Do you want to throw your mother's water? Because if they hold you, their father will tell you this water protected you when you were 2. Say, mommy, this water has been there when I was 2 years. You say, this water? Don't dare to smell that water. Even though it smells bad, it is holy water. Are you listening to me? It was they express themselves, their faith through those stuffs. And that's why it's even difficult for you to talk people out of baptism of water. You see people get into water and come out. You can break scripture like we've done several times, isn't it? And people will still tell you, I still will enter the water. Like I was somewhere years ago, the man of God, I posted something on my Facebook. The man of God saw that one of his very good friends was excited about the post and commented about rapture. They are very popular, two of them. And when he saw the post, he messaged me that we have a discussion. I knew it was because of the post. And when he came around to this town, he called me. We were in his hotel for several hours. His pastors were just peeping. We're talking scriptures. Anything he says, I say, sir, there's no... He said, talk to me. I want you to argue with me. Tell me. Prove your reasons. So I began to prove. And it was looking as if the thing was not going well. Because I'll prove, you talk, I'll explain scriptures. You know, I didn't want to sound proud even though I was doing that. I wanted to be humble. But I was proving and proving. We did not finish the discussion. Then his time for service came. The program he came for. So I attended, of course. While we were there, he got to the point of rapture in his teaching. He said, some young people, I mean, we were talking, we were not done yet. He said, some young people don't even believe in rapture. He said, these things are not new things. We are not bringing new things. There was rapture in the Old Testament. I put my head down. I knew he was talking exactly to me. He said, for instance, Elijah was raptured. And the members stood up, roaring, yes! And guess what? A few of them turned and looked at me. And I put my head to the ground. They knew their pastor was attacking me. And they knew that they made me to understand that I was the one. And I was in the front. I was just at the front. And I felt so bad. I wish I was at the back. I started writing. Because I didn't know what to do. So I had to write. They said, Elijah. They said Elijah was raptured. Because if I don't write now, how will I look at everybody looking at me? I didn't know. I said, they said, and I put the name by the side. Then at the end of the sermon, he said, I know some of you may not be feeling so comfortable in this service. And I said, but the Lord is saying, be humble. I said, in my head like this. I wanted to run. I didn't just know where to run from. He said, the Lord said, be humble. Because I agreed, I bowed my head. As the service was finishing, I forgot my key. I ran for my life that I forgot my key. I had to call one of the protocol. I said, I forgot my key in that church. How can I get it? They had to call and they helped me. Then I said, Papa wants to see. I said, no, I have to see somebody. That's how I ran away from my life. They fired me in the front. They fired me. Everybody turned and ran towards me. Yes, sir! I said, anytime I see that man of God in this town, I'll not go for that sermon till I've settled this rapture debate. Now, when he saw that his very good friend supported my idea, he was not excited. He said, there's rapture. If rapture is true, we should not be on the earth now. Because there have been so many failed prophecies about rapture. So many. Like Prophet Kubus, my mentor, my role model will say, why not just test the flip side of the coin? So I want to be the first to take a step there. There is no rapture. Why not take the flip side of the coin? Because people have been prophesying this thing. You know, sometimes, especially some ladies, you know those kind of ladies, right? They just come to a meeting and I'll tell you, Jesus is coming on the 19th of May. Not Jesus is even coming. That's not even the problem. We're going to be raptured on the 19th of May. Have you heard those kind of people before? Sometimes you are just waking up early in the morning on WhatsApp and you just see a message that it will not pass 21st of September. The rapture of the church will happen. Then some people will make mouth and say it's a lie, but when it comes to 20th, they'll start behaving well. Don't make mouth and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But when it's on the 10th, you just see them just say, I forgive him. Leave the money for her. You know what they are saying? My leg is there and here. Should in case he walk, I did not lose anything. <You know? laughs> Hallelujah to Jesus. COVID-19 was the best season that proved that rapture was real. COVID-19, oh my God. Who did not dream rapture? Even some of you here, you dream rapture. you were probably raptured and I was not, because I didn't even believe in it. I'm very sure one person here dreamed rapture. You don't want to just talk. Benjamin, was you? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I said there was nothing like rapture in the Bible. I've never seen rapture in the Bible. You know, someone now told me, he said, you are arguing blindly because rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, does not mean rapture does not exist. He now said, Trinity is not in the Bible, Trinity exists. So I told him, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. If that's what you mean by Trinity, is there no Father? Is there no Son? Is there no Holy Spirit? Is there people flying in the Bible and their cloth removed? And car jam building and people die? Did you see that one in the Bible? But I've seen Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So if Adam never disobeyed God, Adam would have never flied one day and left his cloth in Eden. And Eve would do the same. And Eden would be left like that. What there will be? Who will be in Eden? The animals and the trees. And the tree of life will be there. They will leave the tree of life. And meet the essence of life. See, rapture is the greatest joke in Christianity, in the doctrine of Christianity. It's the greatest joke that has ever existed. Doesn't make logical sense, doesn't make spiritual sense. And the reason I hit it with the whole of my strength is because it has made people to be thinking, you know, instead of Christians thinking innovation, they are thinking about when they will die and live. Most people are preparing for their death. Church prepares people for death. Most churches. You see, pastor just climbed the podium. What if tomorrow you are not here? What if you are not here tomorrow? What if you are not here? Then they make aeroplanes, we buy it and go and preach the gospel. Then who made the aeroplane? Not a Christian. The car, who made it? Not a Christian. Where is the Christian? He's preparing for rapture. If you don't think dominion, you will not see great things upon the face of the earth. Are you guys listening to me? You got to think dominion. He said, the earth has he given to the sons of men. The heavens of the heavens is the Lord. But the earth, the Bible says, has he given to what? The sons of men. If people claim ownership in this world, right? That is why I kind of wonder why Christians have not realized that they will be on this earth. Islam will cover a lot of places. The present prime minister of Israel just said that the first Republic of Islam that will ever have a nuclear weapon is the Republic of London. Is it London he mentioned, or UK, United Kingdom? He says it's the Islamic Republic of United. Now, I know some people are wondering if he was just trying to shade them somehow, because Islam has penetrated London, UK. It is everywhere. No intentional Christianity. They have mind to be protesting now in UK. They live. I don't know that some of you have ever dreamt of going to Saudi Arabia. Nobody has ever prayed for that visa in this place. But they look for countries that look like they are Christian countries and they want to go and dominate. And they are not just going to dominate. These guys have been sponsored with heavy amount of money. Don't worry. One day your eyes will be open to these things. We know it. There was a man in this city. I don't know if he's still in this city. That they send money to him to buy properties in Makurdi. Any property you see that is big, you go and buy it. So when they found out about the man, people stopped selling. And thank God for the thief man and the Idoma people. Thank God for the mentality to an extent. The hatred, the natural hatred for such culture. Not the people, but the culture. Nobody should hate anybody. Are we together? If not, this your state would have been like just now. This your state. Do you know currently the VC? I heard they appointed a Muslim as a VC of Jos, University of Jos. It's looking like a joke. Even where we got our church property, we heard that the next big land there, it was a Muslim that wanted to buy it. The man refused to sell it. He said, as long as he's alive, that will not happen here. It's not because we hate them naturally as a people, but because of the mentality they have. They have this, is it chaotic dominion mentality? Total takeover. No remainder. This is what God even wants Christians to be doing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Not by force, of course, like they are doing by force. But by choice, as the gospel is presented to them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then they receive the Lord. That's how God wants the dominion to happen. A byproduct of them receiving the gospel. Not we forcing dominion upon them and saying they must follow Jesus. But they have a mentality, they call it jihad. You all know about it. These things are not a joke. We are not necessarily supposed to emphasize this in church, but I just because we are teaching on dominion, you have to just hear this wonderful morning. The Prime Minister of Israel said they will become the first Islamic republic to have a nuclear weapon, because he's seen that they will take over the country. And it's seeming so. Let me tell you something. Write this down. As long as it is Christianity, every other world's religion will gang up to fight it. They don't even care who they are worshipping yet. They will just, when we just, the common enemies that they have, all of them, is Jesus Christ. They don't even think about the gods they are worshipping yet. As long as Jesus is who we want to fight, let us have a common union to fight him. That is why you see people who worship Satan. All right? They can align with any of these other religions just to fight Christianity. You got to understand this. That's why immediately, these things that they are an agenda. Immediately they spoke about COVID-19. The next thing they mentioned is one word religion. What is the useless meaning of that? There was one man who wore red and red with a cap and went there. It's his own Christianity he went to represent. It is not our own Christianity. The only way to the Father is Jesus. Not morality. And that's why what the Western world is attempting to do today. They want to replace Jesus with morality. Just behave well. Be a nice person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it's a danger to true Christianity. Some people are already buying into that idea. They just want to be nice human beings. You cannot be truly nice except with Jesus. Any good that flows out from self is a time bomb waiting to explode very soon. As long as that goodness is not a function of God himself, Jesus himself. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It is beautiful nonsense. One day you will see the demonic side of that goodness. The dark side of that goodness. You will only be good to the core and to the finish if Jesus is the source of your goodness. That is why every man outside Jesus has a price. Every man outside Jesus has a price. Every man outside Jesus has a price. You know, that's why when I saw people hating Trump, even some Christians, I felt so irritated. Because their problem was that it's not allowing them to go to America. That's why they hate him. Low vision. Low vision. See, he's not allowing Nigerians to enter America. We don't like him. You are a Nigerian. What is taking you to America in the first place? Are you not supposed to stay in your country? That's why we can't even deal with bad government. Everybody wants to run. Look at what happened in Oshun yesterday. Is it Oshun? If the people did not stand up, do you think that man will win the election? They stood there. You want to run with ballot paper, they catch you and beat the hell out of you. One car came with Hillos. They wrote presidency. They removed the president. They beat the guy till he removed the. When they counted, they recorded. Masses half the number of the votes. They are counting together with INEC. One. Don't throw that paper away. We are watching you. Two. Three. Not even police could do anything. When they saw that people were, you know, military has their training outside this rubbish government. The military were well coordinated to a fair extent. So they didn't touch any civilian. They were there. When they say count, military say, oh yeah, count. They say, we should count. So when they saw that the military were not being counted, they say, military should come back. Let police go. Police go and they are trying to block road. Let them. hallelujah to Jesus. The masses stood, the man has won. He won. Look, if you look at some of the things, the way they are changing, you think this expo is ends in secondary school? See the rubbish they are doing at the highest level of leadership. 10, they added 5 at the end, 105. All APC, this thing, they add number, all. Some they add number, they still did not pass the man's own. I'm not saying it's not nice to travel out. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It's nice. But don't have this slavely mentality. You are going to Egypt to go and eat bread and be comfortable. As long as you are eating bread, Moses, take us away from this wilderness back to Egypt. We are suffering in this wilderness. Meanwhile, there's something better for you at the end of this journey. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But Moses, there's hunger now. Carry us back to Egypt. Carry us back. You want to Jakba. There's no place for you in Egypt, but you prefer to go back there because the little work you are doing can allow you to eat and die one day. Then what do you live for? You live for food. If let them deport all our Nigerians to come back here. Let's feel the heat. This country will change. I'm not praying for their deportation. For somebody who say, Pastor, there's one of my uncle that is sending me money. I beg, don't go there. That's not what I'm saying. But Nigerians need to wake up. We need to wake up. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We need to wake up. You know, I was sharing with the pastors that I had someone who held, you know, we had some little chaos at the Ministry of Land, and they noted my name. And when I was trying to register one file, the person held the file and say, I must give another extra money before the file will pass his office to another office. I said, I'm not giving 1 naira. Tell the person I'm coming to collect my file. If his name is his name, let him not release the file before Susu Day. I'll come and collect it. Before I went, they say he has released it. They called me that they have released the file. And I told them that Satan is more scared than you can imagine. When they intimidate you and you bow, they finish you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When they intimidate you and you bow, they finish you. You see all these people that think, because I know they are good Muslims, I grew up with them. But you see all these nincompoops that say they want to take over Christians by force. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you bow to their intimidation, they'll remove you from the earth. Don't bow to their intimidation. I've told you several times. Don't. Recently, see the demonic thing that happened in Abuja. I don't know if some of you noticed. A church, they call Temple of God Church. I couldn't help my tears. The labor of this man for several years. The worth of that land right now is in hundreds of millions. The property has built upon that land, hundreds of millions. They say whosoever allocated the land to two or three different people. And they came and they looked at church without permission from court. The case is in court. No respect to even judiciary. They came and they broke that man's building into pieces. Scattered everything. I said to my wife, I said, God knows, and I know, that the person in that caterpillar that they will send that day, that may be his last day on the earth. That's foolishness. Let the church not be behaving. You know, let them not allow. They should not carry makadishim and rub on your face. Then you say you will not. You leave. Recently, they carried some Muslim boys, some houses. They were digging foundation in the man's. Why the case is in court? So the wife crying and saying, this is unfair. They are pushed. In fact, one of the man wanted to touch the wife. He almost wanted to hit her. They didn't carry Christian boys. They know Christian boys will not do that. To dig foundation on a church land, then some people will think Muslim ticket is righteous. Tinubu is a Muslim. I don't care what anybody is saying. His wife is not a Christian. And if there's any church that made her a pastor, that church don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. It should be a mosque. There is no explanation. We are not daft people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How can I have logic? I can think. And you try to explain me that there's a justification for that woman being a pastor. What is the justification? I can stand before God today, tomorrow, and tell him, God, there is no justification for that. And you know it. What is that foolish realm of honor we are trying to explore? Ask my parents, I respect them well. They've never regretted giving birth to me. And ask anybody that know me. Look at the nonsense happening to the church today. I can't tell the number of pastors. They've killed pastors over 10,000 as at the last time I checked. Pastors. Is it because it does not reach our tongue that will be quiet? The man of God said something while we were watching the video yesterday. He said, injustice to one is injustice to all. That it does not reach your tongue does not mean you are safe. It does not reach your tongue. Does not mean you are safe. I don't know that man of God. I don't think I've ever seen him in my life. But it's a threat. That is a threat to the church. That you look at somebody who bought something legitimately and you broke it. And you are saying we have Christian politicians. Is Wike a Christian? A Christian as minister of EFCT and they are breaking church. We don't have Christians. Those are traditional demonic ritualists. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We must see if you are doing all this Christian, pete Christian, we can't survive it. We can't survive it. You think God can really kill you if you have the power of the Holy Ghost? I've read several stories of Pastor Chris and great men of God, even in this country. Sometimes we even disrespect people till they die before we begin to see what God is doing. If you see God doing it in the life of somebody you respect, he can do it in your life. What God did in Ketrukuman, he can do in your life. I heard the story of Bishop Oyedepo one time. They said thief came to his hotel and he came out. Who comes out when thief comes to his hotel? He came out and said, where are they? With his hands in his pocket. And when they came, he said, what are you doing here? In the name of Jesus, when he spoke, the man ran and told the other people he's holding a gun. He did not hold any gun. Even a man of God, even in Abuja, I heard a story. That one time they came to rob him, he opened his car. I think that's Dr. Paul. And when they opened the car to shoot him, something pushed them back twice. And they drove off and left. You think that same anointing cannot work in you? If you are not a Christian that is brutally on fire, we cannot do anything in this country. There is no dominion for us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We can't. Brutally on fire. Brutally on fire. Not smear Christianity. Fire. You can't be joking with your prayer and want to move things. You can't be. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't be pampering sin and think you want to walk in dominion. No. God wants us to rule and reign. I've looked at the whole nation of the world. I don't see, I'll be a coward if I run away from this country and go and sit somewhere in the name of, God did not call me there. If he called me there, maybe I would have done it. Naturally, I don't want that call. Because I've searched my heart and searched the earth and looked at where is the most comfortable place to be. It's God's will. I have not seen any glory that will make me, you know, let me think I'm joking. My boys in the house, I heard them praying in tongues around the dining one time. And they brought, I said, why are people praying in tongues? Did you pass an exam or something? They said, no, they now showed me a private jet and how beautiful it looked inside. I said, is this why you are praying in tongues? Yes, sir. It's in. We'll enter here one day. I said, well, it's so nice, but that's not my dream. It means nothing to me. The first time I will enter my private jet, I will not even snap pictures. I've never taken a picture entering a plane, and I'm not against you taking. They don't move me. Talk less of you have mind to come and snap my shoe when I'm coming out from the car. You are finished that day. These are all vain things. God God said, take upon yourself my yoke and burdens. God have never boasted about sitting on in heaven. Which private jet is more private than the throne of heaven? Have you ever heard God say, I am the one who has a special seat in heaven. Look at my pictures. I am so, my heaven, it has a lot of maids and angels. Anytime I want to eat anything, they bring. With all the glories he had, he wants to still save you. He wanted a kingdom through you. The only way you move heaven is when you're thinking and he's thinking at one. The same vision. If you are thinking souls, you are setting heaven on fire. That is why for every one soul that is won, angels, heaven throws a party. Our country is not okay. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's not okay. I was so perplexed seeing what is happening in Oshun. Highest level of leadership, like children, kindergarten. Even nursery school cannot do this kind of thing that is happening. Nursery school. Old men are snatching ballot buses to run away. Old men. And if you, the end of everything here is money, they promise them money. You see why you have to really walk in the spirit and not fulfill the desire of the flesh? You become so old and foolish. Look at the good thing that good election will produce. Oshun is flocking well. Let me use the governor of Igbo governor, Abia State, Alex Oti. Look at the beautiful thing that man of God is doing for that state. But more importantly, the person who praised more that God used was the woman that helped him to win election. She did not add more votes. She made sure that the vote stands. Can you remember that woman? They tried to push me. I refuse. They tried to move me. I refuse. I say, the truth must stand. I think that's how she was speaking. If I perish, I perish. That's the kind. She has not perished. She's still alive. What a man can do, a woman can do better. I agree in this dimension now. Have you not seen professors that still vote in this? Professors. The last one, Jege. If you're a liar now, they'll say you did Jege me. His name has become lie. The short form for lie. The man that will look at over how many million people and lie to them like kuro lie. Then my problem with the man is that he does not even smile while he's lying. This lie is very serious. He will now arrange his eyeglass and look at it. Arrange it. Mask that truth primary school. My God, you people, young people, if you are not on fire, this country is finished. We're thinking it's a joke. Look at. So mighty good the word of God, a hermit of God said. So mighty good the word of God in the city of Ephesus. And the church prevailed. Ephesus is now a Muslim country. Ephesus. Are you people aware? That the word of God grew. They came and became governor and president. They changed everything. Almost three wars were fought in that country, that city, Turkey. They took over every part. They did jihad there. Every part. If you read history, they are trying to change the name. They don't want you people to understand that it's jihad. They call it a war, a civil war. It's not civil war. It's jihad. Three of them, till the Christians vanished. Bible story captures some city there. If you try to trace the city now, in fact, the names, they are trying to change some of the names. Christians just intimidated. And this morning, hallelujah, amen. Jesus, Igwe. Then do not come and turn you into a Muslim. It's time to wake up. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Get into influential position. Work hard and become the manager. Work hard, become the HOD. Work hard, become the governor. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, when the righteous rule, what happens? That means God is expecting the righteous to rule. You see, this is direct permission to enter politics. He said, when the righteous rule, meaning you must rule. We have been called to rule and reign. It's sounding like he wants to be a politician. We are watching. Yes, we'll do it. God can do it through anybody. Are we together? If God wants you to be governor, I will stop it. It will be so obvious. I will support your campaign. One bag of rice, 100K, 200, one million, collect and vote. I'm telling this thing to Peter Obi. I wish he's watching. That man should be ready to sacrifice some money. You see this country, I'm not saying you are doing a bad thing. You are just encouraging the vote. Get there then, do what God has put in your heart. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? No. Get there. You think if a serious president is there, some of this useless thing happening in Nigeria will continue? 12 states practicing Sharia. There's a state now, I think Bauchi, they forced a lady to become Muslim. Force. Court could not do anything. Court rule against it, they refuse. Married her off as a Muslim, a Christian lady. Have impetus to say all the children in that school, both Christian and Muslim, will learn the Quran. When Nigerian constitution did not say that. To me, it's even so obvious. You see this Christian, Muslim married Christian as a pastor is just an arrangement. And even if it's real, who is the head of the home? So what advantage does he have for us as a country? Nobody should be disturbing us with the wife is the pastor. Nobody should disturb us with that. It's Muslim ticket. Why in a country where somebody can stand up and call all of us infidels? Infidels. That all of us are kafiris. Then the next morning you see a Christian vibing to Davido. You fool. Slow in heart. You are in spiritual debt. You don't even know what is happening. You don't know it. With all this thing happening, your hatred is, they do something, you're arguing. Say, I'm offended. You don't know what time is talking. You are living for yourself. You've not grown. You are not living for the kingdom. Your emotion is still ruling you. Our station leaders yesterday, I said the Bible did not call us civilians of Jesus. He said we are soldiers of Christ. What are we? Have you ever seen a soldier said that I'm not feeling like fighting today? I don't feel like going for parade today. Have you heard where soldiers fall in parade ground? Have you heard it? You will see a soldier moving like this. Before you know, he's going, boom, they'll rush him with ambulance and carry him to the, meaning he was not well, but he could not even talk. He had to go. Some that are hitting their leg, bam, their bones are broken. Bam, when they just go outside, they'll just lie on the ground, they'll carry them and go and start doing operation on the bone. Now, I'm not saying we should even get to that level. What am I trying to say? Have that military mentality. That you are supposed to do something. When God says do it, all right, you do it. At all costs, you what? Get it done. You do it. You don't bring back excuses. You bring back results. Paul will sit down and say, Timothy, go to Alaska. Just go to Alaska. Go and talk to the people there. Timothy will start moving that moment. That moment. Timothy did not say anything. He traveled that moment. And there are some people we want the other place. That's what we call true Christianity. If we don't do like that, nothing will happen to this world. That is why you see, even I told you people something about kingdom when I was teaching on kingdom agenda. Making money must become an agenda for kingdom. There's a way the kingdom will hit you so much. This vision of the kingdom, it will sponsor your making money so well. You want to make it because there's something in your heart that you need to fulfill. There's a burden you need to satisfy. That's why you're working so hard like this to enter into the millions. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Because you know God needs it. And he has empowered you to get it. I told somebody, hard work is a proof of faith. If you know you are supposed to be rich and not be poor, you will not be lazy. If you know God has made you rich and not poor, you will not be lazy. The reason you are working so hard is because you know at the end of this working hard is riches. That's why you are not lazy. Lazy people don't have faith in God's word. They don't have faith in God's word. There is no way you say you are in faith and be lazy as a Christian. There is no way. It's time to wake up. A lot is happening. And I see God starting a strong move on the earth, even through the Nigerian church. Yes. Forget the persecutions happening. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. That's why yesterday, with the little strength and power I have, I said, all of you, share that post. That's wickedness. If it was in this city, I would have gone there and protested with that man of God. Because that's wickedness of the highest level. But come to think of it, people have mind to break church. The darkness, the level of darkness in the hearts of men. And if you look at some of those people, they are Christians. Though. I don't believe they can send Muslims to go and break mosques. I don't believe so. That you carry a Muslim, I say, go and break that mosque. The man will ask you, does the man ask people? I say, yes, but break it. Somebody needs it. Wicked needs it. They will not allow it. And this is a wake-up call to Christians. Christians need to wake up from spiritual death. I think some people are dead spiritually as Christians. Because as we are doing this thing like this, tomorrow they will give wicked microphone in one church to talk. They will give wicked microphone in one church to talk, to address the church. Was it Bauchi or where Gombe? That one sheikh that has insulted Christianity, they gave him microphone to do campaign in a service. If pastors wake up, this country will change. You. Do you know the kind of power we have as pastors? There's a denomination I was hearing that their members are more than three countries. Three countries together. Not every country. They mention three countries and say their membership is more than three countries. Three particular countries. You have numbers that are more than three countries. I posted something last week. I'll be early this week. I said, those days, when somebody is behaving wrongly, like Tinubu and, let's take for instance, Tinubu to be Phil. Behaving wicked to God's people. What will God do? He will always raise a man to go and tell Tinubu, let my people go. Is that not what God did in scripture? I don't even know whether our sufferness and Israelite sufferness, which one is even worse. I've been trying to do the calculation. But when I was reading the Bible, in the wilderness, the children of Israel said, Moses, we have suffered enough here. Take us back to Egypt. At least we are eating food there. We are enjoying. That simply means, because I've not seen someone that left Nigeria that wants to return. That simply means for somebody to say, I want to go back to where they think God thought he was suffering. That person did not see that sufferness as sufferness enough. I don't think any of you want to leave this country and say, I want to go back. At least I'm enjoying there. That simply means wilderness was better than what we are experiencing in Nigeria now. Yeah, that's my own mathematical calculation. So if God can look at what Israelites are experiencing and say, Moses, my prophet, go and tell Pharaoh. Has God changed? That's the question. Then God has not arisen through the heart of any prophet in this country and said, Tinubu, allow God's verdict stand. You are being wicked. For something everybody is seeing and observing. Even goats know that Nigeria is not okay. Goats know. Even dogs know. When last did you give your dog good food? Dogs know. I went to Pastor K's house one time. I saw his dogs looking thin. I asked him, why are these dogs looking thin? Have mercy on them. He says, sir, it's not when we have eaten well that we'll give those food well to it. My wife said, she was speaking with his wife, Pastor Han. I said, what are you giving the dog? She now says, I used to give them food very well in one day so that the next day, if they don't eat, they will not eat the next. Even dogs know that this country. Do you know even chicken, local chicken now are drying up? They are looking smaller. There was a time local chicken used to be big like a Greek. But now, the only thing on the ground is the ground. Those days, they will wash rice. You just see somebody wash rice. And now they measure people's stomach. And when it seems to be finishing, they tie it and put it in deep freezer. And God have not spoken. Let's say God did not talk for hunger, the killing. Down to yesterday, the killing just, Allah Natuba. Do you know that they carried, somebody went from Abuja to go and attend the burial of his brother, cousin or brother, some sort of, in Jos, in a village in Jos. When he got there, they killed him. It was now his burial. The video online, you can go and look for it. Do you know, Jos killing is so much that now we don't even talk about the killing again. It's like a normal thing, like oxygen moving, you know, a carbon dioxide. That's the kind of useless leadership we have. That bishops went to meet him. He told bishops that Nigeria is okay. The economy is booming well. The cardinal says, sir, it is not booming well. They are lying to you. He got offended. People are dying. He got offended. Now, after killing our people so much in this state, they have impetus to tell us that our state has been set aside for ranching. Allah Bakusahai. Meaning all these villages that people are, that they killed and pursued them to IDP camp, we want to now give it to Fulani Soranchin. Lego Paraka Emuane Cafe. Regush Makavahai. For me to keep quiet, I'd rather die than see this happen. This is wickedness. It means what we have as leadership are dondis, otondos. But I trust God that our local leaders from the villages and districts will not bow to this stupidity. Because it's obvious we don't have any leadership at that top level. Thank God we have kings and we trust God they will stand. I have come to terms with the reality that the true leadership we have in any place is not governors, it's kings. They should stand and make sure this rubbish not stand. How can you tell that people are still in IDP camps? They've buried their dead. I mean, we're talking about Yelwata, that even children of 2 years were fried. They were roasted. And you have impetus to say we want to change those places to IDP ranching for Fulanis. Did their father have land in this state? What is happening to this country? Something is not right. To this country, something is not right. Something, Satan is sitting on that throne. It's in the book of Revelation. The Bible said that Satan, he called the seat of the president Satan, the seat of the devil. It seems like the devil is ruling us in this country. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why I'm beckoning on all Christians. It's time to wake up. Don't be slothful. Are you listening to me? Be on fire. Be on guard. Be on guard. I was talking to one of my friends. I say, nothing worries me again in this world than this, to see the verdict of God come to pass. I am not moved by not even church activities. There are certain things you will never see me practice in this church. As long as I have all the time, I still want to have you do come and sit down for Bible studies and have times to pray and go and do your business. We go to, I think a lot of Christians don't even know the purpose, their purpose upon the face of the earth. Because, not to mock, but look at it. Somehow the boast of some of our pastors are vain. It proves we don't even know the reason why church came into existence. The things we boast about. Somebody having the impetus to tell us that Jesus is raising of the dead. And Jesus raising, Lazarus from the dead does not affect the economy of the country. There's a problem somewhere. Is it the kind of church that you want to talk to the government? This kind of mentality? So Jesus was stupid then. He would have rather changed the GDP than raise Lazarus from the dead. Because mammon is what they are worshipping. So raising of the dead does not mean anything. But I'm sure it meant something to Jesus, to Lazarus' family. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It meant something to them. When his daughter dies, probably, or his son dies, he will know what raising the dead back to life means to the family of Lazarus. We don't pray for that to happen. But if you have a test and God bring them, he will understand that raising of the dead meant something to the GDP of the country. Lagabahai. Something is wrong. So love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Here's a transition the church failed to make. Giftings, I talked about this a little bit. I said, talking about it at the beginning of the service. Giftings are scaffoldings. What are scaffoldings? More like those woods, those sticks they arrange, right? To be able to climb on a building and repair the building and paint and build, all right? You know those wood, I think they use these bamboo woods to make them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? All right? So gifts are like scaffoldings. They are not meant to remain forever, isn't it? And that's why the Bible says they will fade. Because when you are done building, what do you do with the scaffoldings? You remove them. Are we together? Love is the building because it will remain. So don't major on the word scaffoldings. Alright? Are we together? And that is why I was saying that you can't have a deliverance ministry, prophetic ministry, healing ministry. No, it's a wrong school of thought. God can heal the sick through you, and you may think that is your call. But no, he healed the sick through you because that was a need at that moment. The Bible calls him the present help in times of need. That he healed the sick does not mean the only thing tied to God is healing. So you cannot call that a ministry. Ultimately, he wants the people to know Christ. So that not only you are healing the sick, but everybody becomes a life-giving word. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. So tongues will cease, partial knowledge will vanish. Everything temporary about your ministry has an expiry date. But love is the only thing that will remain forever. So that it is not wise now to build the entire estimation of our spirituality on scaffoldings, which is coming down very soon. Instead, the substance that remains there forever, which is the building. So we should not build any ministry on scaffoldings, giftings. Are we together? A manifestation of the Spirit yet. It should be built upon Christ. And that's why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. What's that rock there? Christ. Are we together? So that the gate of hell has no probability of touching the church. But if the church is built on anything less than Christ, it is called sinking sand. Meaning there will be a time that will all be sink to the ground. So you can actually tell, even though it's very difficult. It is difficult because you've been practicing something for long, and generation have been practicing it. So you can tell that any practice you are practicing that is still making room for Satan to come and deal with you is not of Christ. It doesn't matter how you arrange it. The decoration you decorate while you are practicing those wrong things. As long as while you are practicing it, or when you are done practicing it, Satan can still come into your life and cause you to fail God in terms of sin. That thing is not of God. It is not of Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why Paul said, I pray for Israel. My desire for Israel is that they be saved. They looked spiritual, but they were not spiritual. To be spiritual is not to wear white and white yet, even though a spiritual person can wear it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? To be spiritual is not all the decoration yet. It is that you understand Christ. Anything lesser than that are scaffoldings. Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Paul said, when I was a child, you can subtitle it, the poor transition. You know, the reason why I teach like this, even though I'm talking about dominion, is because I know that nobody who is in sin can ever walk in dominion. So you see, people talk about the powerful side of dominion. We are called to reign and rule. But a man who is body, like Paul said, another law on your members are fighting against the law of the spirit. You can never be okay and confident enough to walk in dominion. Are you all listening to me this wonderful morning? Very important. That's why you see me talk about big topics like this and I'm still teaching you finish work in between. Because I know that's what will work on you on the inside so that you look mighty on the outside. The Bible calls the Holy Ghost in a dimension. It calls him the spirit of counsel that produces what? Might. Counsel, then might. So true counseling will produce a strong person on the outside. John said, when I turned to see the lion that's prevailed, what did I see? A lamb standing as if it was slain. And that, I think somehow that's a problem. We see God like a lion and we don't want to come to terms that he's a lamb. And so they are lionic expressions. But only the lambs, the understanding of God as a lamb can cause you to truly walk like God as a lion. Because when he turned to see the lion, God told him the true definition of a lion, the true access, the true way, gateway to becoming this lion, is that you understand this slain lamb. Not just a lamb, but a slain lamb. And that's why the gospel is foolishness to them that are intelligent, them that are perishing. Intelligent outside of Christ. And in that part of scripture, in that context, Paul said, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to what? Conform the wise. Are you here this wonderful morning? Are you understanding me? When I was a child, subtitled the poor, P-O-O-R, transition. Then Paul makes it personal, and this is the hinge of the whole point. When I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, this scripture has been there for many years, I'm sure some of you gained your understanding today, he said, I put away childish things now that I'm a man. In context, the childhood Paul describes in the season of living by the partial gifts, fragments, glimpses, all right? What I'm trying to explain here is that at that point that Paul was working, or the church were working, 1 Corinthians 12 in the realm of gifting, Paul called those people that are working in the realm of giftings yet children. And of course, talking to himself, he said, when I try to just walk by the gift of prophecy as my gift, you know, thinking like everybody that I have the gift of prophecy, you have the gift of healing, and etc. He said, in that realm, when we're thinking that, while we're thinking that we all have separate gifting, he said, we're all children. Because if you look at the context of that scripture, Paul was speaking about giftings and fullness. And all of a sudden, he mentioned childhood and maturity. So, what is then the realm of childhood? The realm of gifting. What is then the realm of maturity where love has been understood? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because Paul cannot be saying one thing and mean another thing. Just like I always tell people, Jesus cannot be talking about unbelief and now be talking about a greater demon in the part of the scripture that it says this kind cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. The context of that scripture was unbelief. Are we together? He was talking about people's unbelief and faith. So, but very closely before that part of scripture, he was emphasizing unbelief. Then he says, this kind, when he was talking about their unbelief, addressing it, he said, this kind. He was not addressing the demon. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Even though the story sometimes, logically speaking, can suggest he was addressing, no. There's no particular kind of demon that goeth out by fasting and prayer. It's that kind of unbelief that they have that will go out except by praying and fasting. Meaning if you feast on the word enough, it will take off unbelief. There's a way the word of God will gain ascendance in your soul that when you see an epileptic man, you are already seeing him healed. You can't even imagine. Because Satan will first, if Satan can cause you to imagine it, it will happen. But as long as you cannot imagine it, it cannot happen. That's the law of manifestation. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. If Satan can cause you to think it, to imagine it, it will happen. And that's why sometimes before bad things happen, you must imagine it. And sometimes you dream it. I told somebody, it will not happen to you as you dream. It will happen to you as you think. So when you dream dreams, think the word. You dream wrong dreams, you think the word of God. It is not destined to happen as you dream. It is destined to happen as you think. So you don't wake up from a dream and start crying. No. If you see something bad, you wake up and you rejoice over the word and speak the word. I think sometime I was listening to the testimony online. I didn't even take note of it last week or last 2 weeks about one of us here, Pastor. The dad was in the hospital. It was so severe. He called and I said, pray about it because he's a pastor. So I said, pray about it. Take 2 hours every day and pray. And he began to pray. And in the middle of the night, he will call. The situation is looking like my father will die. I said, what did God tell you when you prayed? He said, God did not tell me my dad. What did God tell you is what the word told you. So he will say, God did not tell me any special thing. He has said it in his word. If God say your father shall live and not die, yes, he will live and not die. I say, since God say your father will not die, keep on praying and rejoicing. Your dad will not die. It will be like a dream to everybody. You come out from the hospital. And finally he came out. We've had diverse testimonies. The power of God is real. The word works. Are you listening to me? The word of God works. So I said, God cannot be saying something different and meant something different. I'm using it to explain this. So Paul, the Bible cannot be talking about giftings and fullness, and all of a sudden, he's talking about maturity and smallness, and he meant another context. For another context, no. So the realm of giftings is the realm of childhood that Paul spoke about. The realm of fullness is the realm of maturity. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. So there are many people who manifest God in certain dimensions and they call it gifts. And when you hear them speak, you know they speak like children. And this is no disrespect to anybody. It's the truth. This is the truth of scripture. They speak from that realm of understanding that they have. And in the realm of the spirit, the Bible calls them children. So they speak as children. And you don't argue with them. Paul said, when I grew up, I left childish ways. When the word of God grows in your heart, most people will not complain. They will just leave it carefully. We know of a denomination today that came back, which I'm very excited to say, some of the practices I did them. But do you know at that point, while he did them, he probably thought it was the Holy Spirit. But when he grew and understood the word, he said, I am the one that created them. I want to stop them. The only bad thing is that the people were so much in it that they didn't even want it to be stopped. Like I was explaining to somebody, I said John the Baptist was in the wilderness for several years, preparing for the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah was in the womb of his mother yet, Mary, and John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth, John the Baptist even recognized Jesus from the womb. The Bible said the baby in her womb lived for joy. His assignment was just to announce the Messiah to Israel. That's why he was in the wilderness, positioning himself rightly. All the consecration of John was to the end that Jesus be revealed to Israel. This man practiced for many years, captured, was capacitated for many years for just this announcement. And he picked it when he saw Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb. He fulfilled his ministry. After a while, when they arrested Jesus, he was the one prophesying the announcement of Jesus, saying that when he comes, he will break prison doors, he will break chains, and etc. And here comes the one announcing what Jesus will do in chains and in prison. When he got arrested for a moment, he sent his disciples. This is a man for several years who was capacitated just to announce the Messiah. He could tell when he saw the, he could tell when he saw the Messiah. Now he got offended. I'm in prison. He didn't come to help me. Go and ask him, is he truly the one I'm expecting? Is he truly the one we're expecting? And I told someone, I said, that's what offense can cause you to do. When you get offended, what you know as truth, you call it a lie. Someone you once honor, you disrespect the person. Jesus told them, say, go back and tell him, the blind see, the deaf hear. It's just your prison door we have not opened yet. And everything that you said about the Messiah is happening. Offense is a killer. Offense is terrible. And one prayer you pray every day, if I were you, pray that God should never allow the spirit of offense to have its full course in your life. You may sign yourself unto death forever. I don't even mean physical death. If you truly understand this God, you cannot disrespect the person he says you respect and get away with it. Many have not understood this. I was teaching somewhere and I said, a disciple can never be greater than his teacher, nor the slave than his master. That's the teaching of Jesus. But sometimes when you grow under your master, you may not even know more than your master, but you can never be greater than your master. So Jesus did not tell you that you may grow, you will not grow in knowledge. But he said you will never be better than the person that taught you from the beginning. That the person who planted that seed is always greater than you. Meaning no matter the height you get, there's one greater than you. The one who planted the seed. And that's why there's this local saying that says, no matter how tall an okra gets, the owner will bend it down and pluck the okra. The fruit. Are we together? These are things you must have as laws in your heart. No matter the depth of God you understand. There are people in my life that no matter how much understanding of the word I have today, I can never see myself greater than them. Because they were there at the foundation of my Christianity. Are you together? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. So you can never get away with that, with dishonoring the people God wants you to honor. That is why you should be careful of offense. It can cause you to be blind like John the Baptist. That's something you are sure about, you are now doubting. Are you all here? And that's why the highest realm of maturity is love. Paul said, now that I'm grown and I'm walking in love, he said, I leave childish things. What are childish things? The things he mentioned at the beginning, the qualities of love. He said, love is kind. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Love is this love. Now, all of these things are the realm, are a function of you entering into the realm of maturity, the realm of love. He said, I leave childish things. Meaning Paul is not offended anymore. Paul is not, you know, keeping record of wrongs anymore. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And Paul, the word of God explains further in the book of James. Is it James or John? Yeah, book of John. It said, he that loves has passed from what? Death unto life. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here? Am I boring you? To remain there, chilled with manifestation while empty of love, is to think like a child. Chilled with manifestation, empty of love, is to think like a child. Growing up, becoming a man, is putting away the childish fixation on giftings and walking in the lowly way of love, which is the very nature of God himself. 1 John 4:8, God is love. The church crisis is a poor transition. The church's crisis is a poor transition. Multitudes receive the gifts and simply parked there. They stop there. So we are hovering around the giftings. They never journeyed from giftings to fullness, from what God put in their hands to what God wants formed in their nature. So it's in their hands as giftings. They can weaponize it and use it, but it's not their very nature. They don't have it as their very nature. That's why somebody can prophesy till he begins to prophet lie. That's why somebody can be prophesying to a point that he will tell you, to see me, you have to give me $2,000. That's why somebody can grow to a point that will say, fruit of your womb, $5,000. There are people confidently doing this thing with their eyes open. And more interesting and surprising, there are people going to pay the $5,000. If you don't read the Bible, you will suffer for it. If you don't want to know God, there are consequences. Your money, they will finish it. There's nothing you will not buy. Holy soap, holy water, holy sugar, holy salt. There is nothing you will not buy. They are cashing out on the product. There was one time somebody was selling blood of Jesus. After all, it's red in color. In a red container. I know there are some funny Christians who act like cowards. That when you talk against this thing, they will say, that's not a message. What is the message? There is no way you'll be teaching truth and not want to remove lies. You don't want to remove lies from your path. You must. Not even Jesus taught truth without pointing out lies and removing them. Did Jesus do that? Read your Bible. Jesus taught the word and he emphasized on the wrong practice of the Pharisees. When they were doing fake fasting, he said, this is your fasting that you'll be doing and making people recognize that you are fasting. You come out and leave your face dry. He said, go and rub oil on your face. Now, was that Jesus mocking them? It seems so, but he was saying the truth, not mocking. He told them, when thou prayest, when thou fastest, when thou givest, do it like this. Don't be doing it like that. You would have said that's another message that Jesus is teaching. He didn't have a message. No. If you are teaching truth, sometimes you have to remove the lies that are standing on the way. There is no way I will teach truth. And if you had said a lie before, my truth will not hit your lie. It will hit your lie on the way. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? People don't know the danger of false doctrine. It can destroy an entire generation. I had somebody talking yesterday. Was it the first day on Facebook? He said, what if we tell people some deep mysteries? They will not be able to accept it. For instance, do you know that there were beings on the earth? There were some kind of human beings on the earth before man. I asked myself, which beings, which man was there on the earth before another man came? But there are some people who are, in the name of apostolic, have taught some things like this. That the first man is not Adam with their full chest. But the first man created in God's image and likeness is Adam. And there are people now that are trying to excavate those things. They begin to stumble into doctrines of devils and demons. Because they want to understand what they think is truth. And the Bible says, if the lie in you be darkness, your darkness is so great. You are in darkness and you are trying to understand the darkness as truth. You see that now? They come to a point, they feel like, in fact, they are fasting in that realm. You see them quiet. There's a realm we need to get to. That realm before Adam was formed. That realm. I'm not trying to insult, but it's a terrible place to be. I remember one time I was watching somebody. He looked like, meaning he fasted a lot. He was bent. He looks like somebody that truly prays. And he said, there is a way you will work with God, that he will name a dispensation with your name. I said, what's the meaning of that? Then the next thing I heard, he said, for instance, God called Moses the law. And there's a way he spoke about Jesus in that understanding, that Jesus did not look so like a big man there. He said, for instance, God called Moses the law. And then he now said, Jesus, and you know Jesus was not really emphasized there. You know me wondering what is happening here. I want to work with God to a point he will call me. He will name me a dispensation. Now, you can see that obviously this is wrong. But does he have a desire for God? Yes. You may think we should not emphasize those things. It will destroy you. That is why you'll be coming to church for 5 years, 7 years. You are still struggling with masturbation. Because you thought you were hearing the word of God. It's ascension you are hearing, ascending and descending. I want to come to that point that we begin to ascend into the third heavens. And I will ask people every time, if you are seated with Christ, where are you ascending to again? You don't leave Christ, oh. You are like Satan that said, let us ascend beyond the stars of heaven. You are seated with Christ and you want to ascend beyond Christ. Lucifer the second. When you say it, you know, some people like stress. They like tough things. Because this kind of thing, as I'm saying it, I'm supposed to do my hand like this and bend my shoulder like this. So that you believe me and use certain kind of languages. If not, it is not spirit talk. One thing with truth is that we'll meet at the end of the truth. Truth is not, you know, karambani. We will meet at the end. Are you all here this wonderful morning? Meet at the end. If it's not truth, you will find that masturbation and pornography. You'll be asking yourself, God, why me? Why not you? You are seeing truth, light. You choose to ascend. They say you are seated with Christ. You say, where? You go to another place. We want to enter into the realm of immortals. You are charged. Where they just told you are seated together with Christ. It did not suit you. Far above principalities and powers. You've been washed with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. No, the guy is so mild. He talks like someone that takes ice cream. No. Well, I'm tough men. Tough men. The Elijah kind of men. Then you enter another place. Maybe the man of God dresses like Elijah. And said, there are realms of fire where you can enter, begin to do business with God. Many Christians cannot understand this. There are things you have to touch. You see, the guy just folded his hand. Where they told him that he seated together with Christ, he did not pray. He just said, fan blew him, he wants to even sleep. I joined in church. We are seated together with Christ. I won't be that the Kai. Say they are potters, they are rare. Somebody press till we enter. You want to enter. And before prayer starts, you have tight your stomach already. The tight stomach. Yeah, there's one I'm seeing now, raw. I just remember, I wanted to talk that nonsense out. There's something I saw. Wow. You are a werewolf. You're not praying in the spirit. Wolf. That's what you are. Because they say you are like Jesus is the lion of tribe. You want to now do. Meow, meow. I saw one. The guy. Aronga. You are a babalao. There's nothing you can talk about. You know, don't be joking with this thing. You can't be joking with us like that. What is wrong? You know, the most interesting part is the comment section. You would think we are all thinking together. You don't see somebody now comment fire. Somebody will not write the realm of immortals. You know we are finished. 1-5 comment. 1K 500. Wow. Fire. Where you used to go to your church, the way their tongues is not sweet. Their tongues in liberal hand, records. But here you got in powerlic tongues. Fiery tongues. Who is pressing you? The Holy Ghost is not an author of confusion. And when you say these things, you are the enemy of the church. Real time enemy. I have a lot of people that call me enemy. The stories I've heard about myself out there, if you hear it, you'll be pitying me. A man came here, he said, woo! In TV, he said, woo! They told me that you used to use prophetic to steal people's money. I said, prophetic to steal. You know, you hear plenty of things about that. I will prophesy. People will not give me money. That's why I'm using it to buy a car and do the things I do, because of what I collect from people. And he wanted to expatiate. I said, it's okay. I've heard so much. This is just one of them. You hear a lot of news. A lot of funny things. In fact, I heard that I sell drugs. I've heard that one too. Yeah, drug lord. But I sell drugs. Cocaine. Igbo. Igboya. Maybe I used to send their Pastor Peter and Pastor Ed to go and smuggle it. Some sort of. That one, when I heard that one, I could not hold my laughter. But that one surprised me. I said, God, is that I'm dressing like somebody that sells drugs or something? Where's my offense? Say, no, it can't be. The way he's doing, the way he's living, that guy, he must be doing something. And guess the first people that will believe that story, the Pharisees. The ones that have wrong, that think we're teaching a wrong doctrine. When the snake just beat Paul, they say, God has caught him now. That's what they are waiting for us. That the day they will hear that something bad happened to us, they say, we talk out. How can somebody tell us that there is no rapture? Why do you think one day something will not happen to him? But like they watch Paul, will they watch us come out from problems, even when we get into troubles? And their testimony about us will grow. They said to Paul, this must be certainly a God. And the Bible says, are they not called gods to them that the word of God came to? And it's true, in the Old Testament, David said, I've seen an arrow upon the face of the earth. Where men are riding on horses. He said, and kings are walking barefooted. In other words, God does not expect you who know him to be walking barefooted. I declare your curse has come. There is no way to interpret that rather than this. How will I? You want to climb horses? Some people against God giving us money will say that horse is a mystery. It represents something in the spirit. What does it represent? No, horse represents grace. They finish. Oh no, come on. It was David that said, he says, an error. Tell somebody it's an error. Say, now say, your days of trekking are over. Point somebody who you know treks very well. Say, your days of trekking. Some of you are wicked in this church. I saw some people pointing at one person. All of you are turning to don't worry. You are prophesying to that person. His days of trekking are over. Don't worry. We'll walk towards that car. It cometh. Do you know all of you? Some of you can drive cars before this year finishes. Do you know you can drive cars? If you are ready to work hard and work with God. And David said, that's an error upon the face of the earth. And these people are they that he called them gods. To them that the word of God came to. Now you, God cabals in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. You know, we've been hearing these things since, but we just, this choreography that spoiled this thing. We did not get the meaning because of choreography. He lives in me. He lives in me. He watches over. It's the choreography that scattered the head that will not get the revelation. If not, they'll be telling us these things. Tell somebody he lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. Paul said, don't you know all things are yours? All things. Say, everything is mine. Some people are not saying it. They say everything because they truly are not ready for anything. They want to go tomorrow and still suffer. They are ready to suffer. They are ready to suffer. Do you know things can change in the twinkle of an eye for you? God can just change your story. It will be like a dream. Oh, lagahai. Ah, makufahalia. Like a dream. You have become the number one vendor of that product. In like a dream. Lego Palatia. Before you know, you are number one. Like a dream. But you see, you're going to think like Ronaldo right now. You're going to see yourself as number one to be number one. You're not shouting yes sir now at this point. Oh, mercy, fan. God have mercy. Now, as I said, you got to think like Ronaldo at this point. The guy, he couldn't shout again. You got to see yourself as number one to be number one. I don't know if you are ready to think like Ronaldo this wonderful morning. Shout glory. It's just the thinking. It's the thinking, okay? We know we still need mercy. Just take our thinking. And the Lord have mercy on you. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They never journeyed from giftings to fullness, from what God put in their hands to what God once formed in their nature. So they stayed alone in the realm of giftings. Meanwhile, scripture said in Ephesians 3:19 that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Amplified Rendition says you become a body and a life flooded and full with God Himself. And that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere human knowledge. Without experience, that knowledge without experience, you know that all those knowledge they get from experience, and they are telling you what God, whatever goes up must come down. Is aeroplane down? Huh? It's up and up. Are we together? Your life too is up and up. Upward and forward. That you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the riches of God's experience in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. Say, I'm filled and flooded with God Himself now in the name of Jesus. Whoosh, glory to God. I can feel the Lord everywhere in my body. That's how you think as a child of God. I'm full and flooded. Not the realm of giftings. I'm full of God. I can heal the sick. He said, go heal the sick. He said, go raise the dead. He said, go cleanse the lepers. Go cleanse the lepers. You know what that means? Those days you don't touch lepers. The priest declares them not pure, impure, because they can even alter your health. When you touch them, you can be infected. But Jesus said, if you are full of me, you can cleanse the lepers. Meaning you can touch them and they'll be pure. They'll become pure. They'll be infected by eternal life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We don't catch diseases, we stop diseases. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now this must get into your systems so that all this malaria and whatever will stop. Like you who is customer, we know you every 2 weeks. You got to allow the word. Beyond that, your anti-malaria, let the word gain ascendance in your soul. So that we will not be telling you sorry every time. They are busting every part of your body for injection. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm reading Ephesians 4:13-14. So we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure,
to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to come to fullness. Not small realms of giftings. That we should no longer be what? Children. Next part of scripture. When you come to fullness, you see, you get it now. You get it now. You get it now. What Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 13. Like I was trying to explain. Giftings the realm of children. Love the realm of fullness. And love is understanding. Knowing love is knowing Christ. Because like we just read in Ephesians 3:19, the love, let's read again, the literal translation, NKJV, it says, to know the love of Christ, which what? That you may be what? Can you go back a little bit? Let me explain something. Go back to 18. Just go back to 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Next part of scripture. Next, to know the love of Christ. So you see, knowing Christ is knowing the length, the height, the width of God's love. E.W. Kenyon said, Christ is love gift of God to us. The love gift of God to us. So Christ is how much God loves us. So to know the love of Christ is to know the love of God is to know Christ. So when you know Christ, you've come into the realm of love. That was what Paul was advocating for in 1 Corinthians 13. That you leave the realm of gifting and come to the realm of love. In other words, come to that realm of maturity, knowing your place in Christ, the fullness of Christ, like we're seeing in Ephesians 4:14. The knowledge that's begat the stature, meaning this knowledge can bring you to stature. Knowledge can bring you to stature. Saints can be perfected. Saints can be perfected to the stature of the fullness of God. That's what the Bible said. That the fivefold ministry, if we labor in the word and doctrine, we can bring every Christian to that equilibrium of maturity. All of us will be mature in God. So we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To a perfect man. A man that can't sin again. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not fullness of the understanding of potters and ascending and descending. The knowledge of Christ brings you to that realm of perfection. Brings you to that realm of maturity. So that you talk like Paul now and say, I'm not a child anymore. When you are a child, you say ascending and descending. Potters and immortals. But when you grow to the realm of fullness, you leave childish ways. I will tell people that some of these things we did, maybe they will look at our face and say, we are so young. I go in Kaduna. I think the apostolic ministry of the church in Nigeria has its roots vividly from Kaduna too. Are we together? So I saw the beginning of some of these things. When I tell people that I don't pray, you know, hunger prayer, they think I'm being stupid. Ah, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry. Give me you. I'm hungry. A man that is not hungry is a man that is dead. If you mean hunger to see what God has done for us that we have seen become a reality, you are not wrong. Are we together? But if you mean that I should be hungry, I should just wake up and just want to be hungry for God unnecessarily, then you are wrong. Because we have received Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And as long as we have received Jesus, the Bible permits us not to be hungry again. You can't have Jesus and be hungry. He's the bread that when you eat, you hunger no more. What are you looking for in the realm of hunger now that you have known Christ? What are you hungry for? The Bible says we have entered into this rest. We should enjoy the rest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Enjoy the rest. There's a rest prepared for the children of God. Are you in that rest tonight in Christ Jesus? Your only form of labor is to stay in that rest. To excavate the reality of that rest and enjoy it. And you don't hunger, you don't pray in the light of that hunger they talk about. How do you enter this rest? You declare what Jesus has done. You don't declare God to come. Lord, I want to touch you. I want to... Father, thank you because I'm close to you. I'm seated together with you. Thank you because I'm one spirit with you. Thank you because my debts have been paid. Thank you, Lord, because my sins are forgiven. This is how you enter into the rest. Not we press, we press, we ascend. Mm-mm. Thank you because we have ascended to the highest realm. And we are seated together with you. Not we are going to Zion. Thank you because we have come to Mount Zion. We have arrived, the city of the Lord. Not angels, I encounter angels. I know. Thank you, Lord, because I'm in an innumerable multitude of angels. This is how you steer this fire around you. This is how you steer this glory. He said that your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging. Meaning you acknowledge what Jesus has done for your faith to become effective. You keep on saying what Jesus has done. Then your faith becomes effective. That's what Paul said. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because I can never be poor in my life. No, Lord, give me money. No, thank you, Lord, I can never be poor. I know I'm rich. In you, I can't fail. In you, I can't be poor. Then you anticipate all the greatest level of riches in your life. You can't pray like this and think small. You pray like this, you are thinking so big. You want to start something that the whole city can be buying from. But of course, you understand it's that small. You are proud to start small. But you know what you are seeing. Though your beginning may be small, your later end will greatly increase. You have seen the end. That's why you started. And like a joke, that little thing is swallowing up the whole city. Do you understand me tonight? Oh, glory to God forevermore. Nobody should deceive you and say God makes people poor. That's why some sort of in some part of the world, Islam is taking over. You know why? They believe so much in money. I'm not saying money is everything. We need the gospel ultimately. But God will empower you also with money. We don't force change on people and tell them you must change. We give the gospel and they change. And that's why we are doing the right thing. And that's why Jesus is the only way. Jesus has never forced, will never force anybody to change. Even when he encountered Paul, he told Paul to go and meet somebody that taught him the gospel. And Paul willingly received Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He willingly received Jesus. So our tool for the harvest is the gospel. The gospel is a sequel for the harvest. But one way God wants to empower us, or he has empowered us, is through finances. We must be in strategic positions. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why you must understand this kingdom agenda of God. We got to be plugged into strategic positions. We must get the resources. And that's why I'm telling you tonight. I don't know how you were making money before, but go with this mindset and go and make money. Understand that your wanting to make money is part of labor to see that God's kingdom is established upon the face of the earth as it is in heaven. Want to make it. Want to have the money. Understand that any form of slothfulness, laziness, is not giving glory to God. That if you truly love God and His kingdom, you want to make it real, real big in money. So that when we hear one time, like the sons of the bond women want to take over a part, we can buy it for buying sake. And say, this city will stand purified. This city will stand for the Lord all the days of our lives. And pass this mentality to our children and children's children. That a day will never come that they will call this city a city of another dark religion. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It will never happen. It will never happen. That's why we are not casual about our faith. People who are smoking and drinking, it will happen before their very eyes. But thank God the Lord has put us here. We must take responsibility and not complain. There may be deficiencies somehow there. But we with the Lord are enough. The Bible said the kingdom, one of the parables of the kingdom, is likened to a small tree that is planted. What's the name of that tree? Mustard seed. It is very small, but when it grows, it takes over everywhere. That we are small, but we are growing to take over this city. The word of God will take over this city. It is taking over the city in our lifetime. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is taking over. We see days that beer parlors will be shut down in this city. We are coming to the days that they will say Benway State has the lowest level of HIV and AIDS patients. It is happening in our lifetime. In the name of Jesus. It is happening. The city is purified. Because we are here. Jesus speaking in the book of John 15, he said, you are pure because of my word in you. If the word of God is in this city, it will be pure. It is no more churches yet. It is the word. We can have a lot of church buildings in this city. If the word is not in the city, there will be no purification. We can have a lot of churches in this country. If the word is cast on the country, there will be no purification. Pastor, why does it seem like the city is so religious? Religious unto death. The word is not in the city. If the word is in the city, it will prevail. There's a city. Let me tell you. There are destinies that have been tampered with in this city. I can tell. I've stayed so much with the Lord. My eyes have been opened several times. I've seen how people, the mighty, rise and all of a sudden go to the ground. Several times my eyes are open and I see. And I keep on seeing. And people make some mistakes. I'll show you. They think it's more prayers yet. People have prayed in this land. And I'm not talking down prayer. But I'm talking down the wrong algorithm of prayer we had. Prayer is not escalating God's, just shouting God's name and shouting heaven to come down. Prayer is called building. You are building up something. Jude says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. But how did that faith come? It came by hearing the word. In other words, if the revelation is wrong, building will not be happening. And whatever is built, you are building more or less on sinking sands that will scatter very, very soon. So don't rush into building if you don't have the right material yet for building. Don't rush into building. Many people think that you stop sin by emphasizing sin. Detergent will wash stain. Stain cannot stop stain. Stain cannot take off stain. If it's clot today, a white clot today is stained, you cannot use more stain to remove the stain. You use detergent. So what will remove sin is not focus on sin and telling people how sinful sin is. It is focus and setting their gaze on Jesus Christ. If Christ is rightly revealed, Satan has no chance in the city. I think for several years, the church has stayed more trying to really understand the different kind of sin and whether some things are seen or not seen than revealing Christ. If Christ is properly revealed, he said, in that capacity, you will not do it, I will do it. He said, just reveal me and leave the consequences to me. I will draw all men to myself. And that's why while Paul was speaking, he said, I desire to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him being crucified. Because that is the only way God in that capacity can what? Draw men to himself. Somehow when he got revealed in John 3, Jesus emphasized Moses in the wilderness. He said, just like Jesus was lifted up in the, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, with the Son of Man be lifted up. What happened in the wilderness? They looked up to Jesus. What happened to them? A type of Jesus in the Old Testament. What happened to them? The snake's influence did not affect them a bit. They looked up to Jesus. The Holy Ghost told me one day, he said, what if what we have been looking onto is not Jesus? The looking will not matter. You can be beholding a wrong thing for 24 hours, no change will come. So, you see, the song is beautiful. We behold until we are changed. But make sure what you are beholding is the accurate, precise knowledge of Jesus. Else, it will not produce any change. Our problem is that we want to behold. We don't care what we are beholding. We just want to be beholding. And as long as what you are beholding is wrong, there will be no change. So the church needs to stay more on trying to put more strength on trying to reveal Jesus accurately. There is no two sides of the knowledge of Jesus. What is your 9 about Jesus is not my 6 about Jesus. If Jesus is a 6, he's a 6 to everybody. If Jesus is a 9, he's a 9 to everybody. There is no personal revelation of Jesus outside the supposed revelation of Jesus. If what you are teaching is what is personal and not supposed to be, if you teach it to a generation, you are wicked. It will not produce change. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He did not say prayer yet. He said lack of knowledge. What is prayer without revelation? Lack of knowledge. It's because the priests refuse to teach accurately my word. If you trace it downwards, it causes pride as a root problem. It causes pride. Are you all listening to me tonight? You want to see change in your life? Stay with the word. Paul said we should not look down on the gospel because of the simplicity. There's a prophecy in scripture that said the gospel will sound so simple. It's not supposed to be unnecessarily ambiguous. The simplicity of the gospel, that you are seated together with Christ, that your sins are forgiven, that you are a born again child of God that are bearing the nature of Jesus. See, sounds so simplistic. And that's why Peter said, like little children, it doesn't matter what people are calling you now, they out there. He said, like little children, you must come and desire the sincere milk of God's word. Forget about the names you've got. If it's not working, come and desire the sincere milk of the word. Because if it is the truth, it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be seeing God alive. Mama T wrote something that blessed me. She said, she said, if you believe God for finances and believe God for breakthrough and cannot believe God for holiness, that God you are believing is a false God. The God that can give you money and give you breakthrough can make you holy. Are you here tonight? And that's the first thing he wants to bring you into. Because he said, I desire that you prosper even as your soul prosper. He doesn't want you to prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. You have all the money, but you have lost Jesus. Ah, that's not what he wants. He wants it to be working concurrently. That you have so much of Jesus, all of Jesus, and so much of money. God is sure that that man that has Jesus, money cannot do him anything. But the one that does not have Jesus, money will destroy him. He said in his word, the prosperity of a fool destroys him. But he has also said, the word of God is able to make you wise. So if you have the word of God, you will be wise. And no form of prosperity and level of prosperity can destroy you. Say amen. Now bow your heads and pray in the spirit. It's time to rule and reign. It's time to rule and reign. Tell the Lord, I rule. I reign, I set my gaze on Jesus. Whew. What can separate me from your love? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Not the darkest path of the earth. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I will stand still and not be weary. For your word is my solid foundation. I will run, I haven't faint. Cause the hand of the Lord is upon me. I will run and I will faint. Cause the hand of the Lord is upon me. I will stand still and not be weary. For your word is my solid foundation. I will run, I won't fail. Cause the hand of the Lord is upon me. I will run, I won't fail. Cause the hand of the Lord is upon me. I will stand still and not be weary, for your word is my solid foundation. I will run, I won't faint, for the hand of the Lord is upon me. I will stand firm and not be weary, for your word is my soul and foundation. I will run, I won't fail, for the word of the Lord is upon me. All I see is victory, I see glory, I see light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not worried of the tears, for the hand of the Lord is upon me. All I see is victory, all I see is glory. I see light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not worried about a thing, 'cause the hand of the Lord is upon me. Under the shadow of the wing, I am safe. Hey. Under the shadow of your wings, I am safe. Alabagaya. Under the shadow of your wings, I am safe. Hey, yeah. Under the shadow of your wings. Shadow of your wings, in a mon karade, unana masoda karade bakona dea, leara bosa ne makona bayare kaya, umanana yata, leara boka, leara boda, under the shadow of your wings. Under the shadow of your wings, under the shadow of your wings. And under the shadow of your wings, I am safe, Lord. Under the shadow of your wings, Lord. Eba kona de akoda, emba kana na mana dialoka, iara dosa ramaniko, remba kona de la doka baradea, onia kana na dosi ara boda, shenda na bakata, lenda na mayakoma ni aroba karadea, ombia kala lea no, ea bakona na marota, iara kala na bosi ara boda, ea rabaka, Araboka na nameka, iarabota saradeka rabota, shiarabanda liyakona niyaroda, iarabota, iaraboka nena namoka, iaradosa lena boka radade, iaraboka radagadia kada radagadia kada, Onga bayakana, enyana bakara, enyana makaya, enyana makaya, ela bokana nena koba, iyana lakona nebakora dadea, ela bokana diarota, diatakandi manonona nigalida, lena mayanona, ea bakona makona na mayakali adata. Shema koma kana na ne eba kona iarota eba boka nera posa nera deka pagara na ne iarado koma kana na baya eba kona na dia na bola dia kana na boya eba kana ne eba roda makara ne baya kona sheba ko era koba era kona era koya era koya era koya era koya era bonga ne akoba era boka nana nira nempa kada le vera koma nera ro era bo era boka ne akona makona makaya eba
cosa la ta cara deta liba cona liba cola bara e ne va comandera o maya cara la boya de va cora da da de era bo era bacana ush under the shadow of your wings I am safe. Under the shadow of your wings. Erabo karare barakonda liarado sanebe komba laradiba bomba la kana ne makora ne bayata iarado bakara ne eba kosi arabo shararabade iaraboka eraboka ne bakopa lade orado
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.